We move along with time in our work and in our play. Just a fleeting moment, and it dawns another day. Days turn into seasons, summer heat and winter cold, but God keeps another time, so I am told. Can you see the clock from where you stand? Can you tell? Is fast approaching. There are shadows in the land. Can you see the clock from where you stand? I seem to know the season for the planting and the plow, but there's a greater harvest that's going on right now. Gathering wheat into the barn until the trumpet blows. Reaping will come to a close. Can you see the clock from where you stand? Can you tell the fast approaching? There are shadows in the land. Can you see the clock from where you stand? Can you see the clock from where you stand? Can you tell the hour by the pointing of the hand? Night is fast approaching. There are shadows in the land. Can you see the clock from where you stand? Can you see the clock from where you stand?
Hallelujah. Can you see the clock from where you stand? How many of you follow Amir Safadi on YouTube? All of you? None of you? Some of you? Remember this plane that went down in, where is it called now? In Ethiopia. Amir Safadi's daughter was on that plane a day before. And there were a few of them, and this one person had a vision of a fire, so they prayed against it and asked God to protect them. They made it home. The next day, the same plane flew up and crashed and killed everybody on there. And then on Fox News, it was reported that the day before, there was a co-pilot on there. The plane started doing the same thing, but the co-pilot knew what to do and saved it from crashing. So Amir Safadi's daughter did not die because of an intervention from God. Interesting. I remember our guide in Israel. We were talking about those bombings on those buses they used to have. Then they put up the walls and that stuff. He said his daughter was supposed to take a bus that was blowing up, but she somehow missed her connecting bus, and her friend went, didn't wait, got on the bus and was blowing up. So God is sovereign, and he knows what he allows. It's interesting how things are determined. And if God has work for us, we're going to stay here till we're 120 or 140 if we're faithful and do our work. So if you want to go home quite fast, just quit doing what God told you to do, and he'll say, okay, time to retire. Well, I want to finish my work before I go home. It's not that I want to stay here that bad. It's just that I want to finish my work. The Apostle Paul, can you imagine the Apostle Paul? He said he was in heaven. He saw what was going on. He knew what it was. And he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He wanted to go already. Can you imagine the incredible utopia he felt, or the excitement, the adrenaline rush when this executioner took him out to chop off his head? I'm sure that guy, he must have rejoiced all the way there. Hey, Lord, I'm coming. Make sure that thing hits right. And this is what's happening all over the world. Christians, I sometimes believe they don't put up a fight. They accept death. You can read it in Scripture where they would, instead of coming against those who tried to kill them, they're looking for a better place. They accept it. They want to die. They want to go home. And this is what's happening. So there is a better place for us. How many of you believe that? And the older we get, the sweeter his face. Hallelujah. The older we get, it seems like we're more and more connected to this incredible future home of ours, and we're slowly being disconnected from this home. What was it? Corrie ten Boom said, don't be too rooted into this place here on earth. God will have to rip you out, because one day you have to go, and you're going regardless. So God wants us to understand that he loves us. If we turn to him for salvation, he cannot stand it being without us, so he's going to take us home. Today I want to teach on an interesting subject. I'll go back scripture, back and forth a little bit. I ask God to help me to show it to you so that you'll understand who you are in Christ, who I am in Christ, what God has promised. It's interesting that in Christ alone, we're on the top of the universe. There are those who claim that we're removed from God. There are those who claim we're into God. We'll see what these scriptures are saying. But before we get into it, let's rise and ask the Lord for a blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you'll open our hearts to the truth of Scripture. Help us to understand and see what you have for us, who we are, what we are. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. When a person becomes born again by the Spirit of God, he becomes a new creation in Christ Jesus. Believing after a while becomes a possession. When I first became born again by the Spirit of God, I still remember the day. I walked out of my house and I wanted to jump up and down for joy, because something came into me that has been there since. And the joy of that being that came into me has been my strength throughout my Christian life. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You start telling people about this joy that you have received, and people look at you very strangely. The question I have here is this. Those listening over the internet, and there's quite a few that are already watching us on YouTube. When you turn to Jesus, at first it's up here, it's a belief system. But when it moves to your heart, something happens. It becomes a possession. You become part of it, and things start to change in your life. This is what it works. It works even that in the material. You have a thought, it's something you believe you can produce something, and then it moves to your heart. When you start producing it, that thing becomes part of you. It becomes part of your creation. So is Jesus in our hearts. The minute Jesus moves from up here to down here, our life changes. Fear leaves. Sickness has to take second stage. We all start to begin to understand and see the power of God. But how are we when it comes to being in Christ? It says in Matthew chapter 6 in verse 33, "But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. People go about to establish their own righteousness. The Bible teaches us to seek the righteousness of God. Let's first define what the righteousness of God is. It's perfection. You're perfect, you're holy, you're pure, and you do not achieve it by yourself. It is given to you. It is passed from God to you. So it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto you. Now I want to show you, we might look at the material side of this. This will be added unto you. Houses, lands, and whatever else this world has to offer. But it goes way deeper than that. In many cases, houses and lands and riches aren't even given, or they're not even there to be received. So what else is there for us to receive, to be added on to us? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, I want you to pay close attention here. "Do I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity?" Now that word charity, when they put it in there, I don't know what meaning it has, but to know today, charity means to give people stuff, to be kind to people, be charity. But this word charity means love. It means the love of God. It says, "Do I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love? I am become as a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not this love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not this love, it profits me nothing." So there's a lot of people out there who do have these things here, these attributes. They have these gifts. Whether it doesn't even have to be a Christian. There are many, many people who give a lot of money to charities. Look at Oprah. She gives a lot of money to charities. But if she hasn't got God, it profits you nothing. I want to show you a scripture found in 1 John chapter 4 in verse 8. It says, "He that loves not knoweth not God." So, it's God that is love. Here we are. Seek first the kingdom of God. If you have all those attributes and you don't have God, then these things profit you nothing. Do I give all my money to the poor? It profits me nothing. How many of you know that southeastern Manitoba, year after year, is give, they say these are the people that give most of the money to charity in all of Canada. Southeastern Manitoba, that includes reaching out ministries. We're southeastern Manitoba. So this place in this area gives most of the money that is given in Canada to charity. It's incredible. They do it every year after year after year. But I want to tell them something. Those who give so much money, if you do not have Christ, if you do not have God, you have nothing. It availeth you nothing. Very interesting. But if you do have God, then all these things, they're added unto you. You can get into that. They are going to be accounted to you. Now, I want to show you another scripture here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. Charity, that's God, charity suffered long, is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Okay, here is a scripture where we fail miserably, right? We are supposed to be filled with the love of God. But when we look at it, it says we think no evil. Is there anybody here who can with an honest heart say, I never think any evil? Okay, here it also says it seeks not its own. Is there anybody here who can say that he is not selfish sometimes? So on and on. You look at that scripture and you will realize that we come short of it. But I got good news for you. I got good news for me, because I looked at my mirror here and I said, Lord, I want to know the truth about myself. And God said, in the flesh, my dear servant, you can't make it, regardless how you try. But seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, then all this will be added unto you. When will it be added unto you? I want to show you a scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In verse 8, charity never fails, that's love never fails. For whether there be prophesyings, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. So you sometimes can say, I'm not evil all the time. I think not evil all the time. I do good. But there's times when I don't do good. So we're partly good and partly bad, right? Think about it. We're partly good and partly bad in this flesh. Our spirit wants to do good, but alas, our physical and our intellect pulls the other way. One of these days, when that which is perfect has come, then all these things will be added unto us. How many of you know what it's talking about here? Once Jesus comes, once we'll see him face to face, then we will change body, soul, and spirit. Then we'll have the attributes of Jesus. Then we'll be able to say, look here, I love, I don't get puffed up, I don't behave unseemly, I don't crack a joke at another person's expense, I think no evil, I don't do any of those things, because now I am as God has planned for me. I sought the kingdom of God years ago. I sought his righteousness, and the righteousness, the seed of righteousness, was planted into me. In one of these days, when I will see God face to face, that righteousness, that holiness, and all of these things that have been promised in this chapter will come upon me. Then for the rest of eternity, these attributes will speak of David. Hallelujah. This is what God is promising us. So don't get discouraged if you fail. The time will come when we'll do everything right. The time will come when we will see God as he is. And these things will be added unto us. For now, we struggle. For now, we sometimes fail. But those of us who study Scripture, those of us who get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, those of us who have a relationship, know that deep within our hearts, those things are already accounted to us. One of these days, it will just come into fruition. But on the other hand, those who don't know Jesus, listen to this. We sought God's righteousness, and God gave it to us. It was as easy as accepting a gift from somebody. But for those who don't, those who seek their own righteousness, listen to this. In Romans chapter 10 in verse 1 to 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant, that word ignorant, they don't know about God's righteousness. They go about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That's the whole problem with the unbelieving world. They do not understand or see the righteousness of God, and they don't submit themselves to it. So will they receive all these attributes that we talked about? No, they will not. Why? Because they can't receive them. They are in God. These attributes are in God. God is love. And God has been placed into us. And once we see him face to face, then we'll be a complete being, body, soul, and spirit. So, if you get discouraged, read these scriptures and then see into the future that one of these days you will be gentle, you will be kind, you will be loving, you will never do anything at other people's expense. That day will come, but for now it's eluding us. For now, we're somehow being pulled aside. We want to do our own thing. But the day comes when God will say, now, we're going to, for the rest of eternity, be holy, pure, and complete. In Romans chapter 10 in verse 4, the last scripture I have to put up here, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So righteousness comes upon us once we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love this because when I see myself failing, I have to look at what God promises. Where do we stand today in this message? Is it just up here or has it reached down here? Do you live in fear? Do you live in a state of not quite knowing where you are? Are you in Christ Jesus? If you don't know these things, then get to have a relationship with God, and things will change drastically. There's no reason a Christian should have a fear of the future. For those of us here who started out 40 years ago, 30 years ago, I started out with $10 in my pocket. I don't even know if I had that. Maybe $20. I started out with nothing, 4 children and a wife. Today, I have everything I need, far more than I had when I started. The question is, am I now more fearful of losing what I have as when I had nothing? When I had nothing, I had absolutely no fear whatsoever. I knew that God would supply all my needs, all the things that I have need. He will supply them. And we started out. It took about 30 years. And now we got house, we got vehicles, we got this, we got that. But every now and then, I feel a spirit coming into me and whispering into my ear, what? What if you lose this all? What's going to happen to you? Let's say you're going to get sick. Let's say you're going to become immobile. What are you going to do if you can't make certain payments? And I have to say, Satan, get thee behind me. For God was able to take care of me when I have nothing. And he'll be able to keep everything for me when I have everything. Hallelujah. Because we are in Christ Jesus. And he will never fail us. Hallelujah. Not only do we have righteousness. Not only do we have holiness. We have what God has promised. And even if we lose everything, I remember losing everything. I was high in the spirit for about 5 months. And sometimes I wonder what is better, having everything or having nothing and being high in the spirit. Being high in the spirit is something that you can't quite explain to people. They figure you're not quite there. Last week, we had an interesting story of a lady who lost her son that started jumping up and down for joy. I remember when I lost a child, I didn't jump up and down for joy. What happens to a person when the joy of the Lord comes upon him? He cannot contain himself. But one thing he knows for sure, God has become very real to him. So open your heart to these things. God is love. And if you have the love of God in you, all these things will be added onto you, plus more. And the big bonus is, for the rest of eternity, we're going to enjoy ourselves. So open up your heart and become a blessing to yourself. And you'll see yourself rejoicing in life and not just waiting for the rapture. I'm waiting for the rapture anyway. I don't care how joyful I am. Because I want the rapture to come. Bless you.
If you're a failure, Christianity should be very attractive to you. It is to me. I love Christianity because I know who I am. I love the idea that I live by the grace of God and not by how good I can be, because every time I try to be good, I fall flat on my face. So that was a really good message, inspired by the Holy Spirit. I know that. Dave could not come up with that. I know I'm too good. So the Holy Spirit must have really been there.
What we are to thank Him, love and praise.